Lord, we praise you tonight and bless your holy name. We glorify your holy name. Father, we're just so grateful to be in your house, to be with you tonight, for you said when two or three are gathered together in your name, that Jesus would be in the midst of us. Lord Jesus, be welcomed, be glorified, be magnified, be honored. And Father, we thank you that tonight we'll walk out of here different. Tonight we'll walk out of here changed. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth to speak your word, words from heaven will flow from my lips. Words straight from the Holy Ghost. And I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Father, we don't need man's plans. We don't need man's opinions, man's ideas, man's philosophies, or man's theories. Father, we need to hear from heaven. So I thank you, I'll speak with boldness. I thank you, I'll speak utterance from straight from the throne room of heaven. And Father, I thank you, bullseyes will be hit in people's hearts. And people will walk out of here different. And people will walk out of here changed. And Father, we'll never be the same after tonight. And for that, we give you the glory. We don't magnify the name of a ministry, the name of a church, or the minister. We magnify Jesus. We magnify you in the Holy Ghost and your precious word. So we thank you for help tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Of course, we're in the middle of a series, and tonight is part 3, and I'm just so thrilled about this series. Besides the subject of faith, this subject is at the top of my favorite things to preach on because of the impact it will have on your life. Amen. I know the impact it's had on mine, but we'll start with what we called our reference text, or what Brother Hagin used to say, the golden text. And we'll look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and we'll do a slight review for people. But I do encourage you, we have these sermons online on our website. You can go to sermons and they're archived there. I am preaching the same series in South Dayton. However, when I preach them, the same one in South Dayton, it comes out different because there's different people. But if you want to go back and listen, and if this is your first night and you're just experiencing this the first time, this review is not going to help catch you up. It's just going to get you informed of what we're talking about. And I do encourage you, if you've not heard the first 2 weeks, to go back and listen. But we'll give you a little bit of review to help you. But we started in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And the Bible says, being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus commanding them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Well, what promise is Jesus talking about? Now, it's important to understand Jesus is speaking to Christians here. He's already died. He's already rose again. He's already made himself appear to these people. The disciples had to get born again just as much as you and I did. And the way you get born again, the roadmap is Romans 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Well, no doubt they did this. They had it easier than we do. They saw him, praise God. They saw him die, and they saw him be dead, and they saw him be alive afterwards. So they became born again. They became Christians. So Jesus is now addressing Christians here. And it wasn't just the 12. There was 120 that he was addressing here. Actually, addressed more than that. 120 showed up for the party. But anyways, what promise is he talking about to these Christians? He said, John baptized with water. He said, but you Christians, they were a new group of people that had never been on earth before. There were no Christians before Jesus died and rose again. He says, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence or from now. And in verse 8, he tells you what happens when you get this baptism. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And for time's sake, we won't look, but in Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment of this command, or this what Jesus had spoken to them, it came to pass. So the series is entitled The Baptism of the Holy Spirit, or The Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, it can also be interchanged with the term to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because in Acts chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4, when this actually happened, it said the disciples were all, or they were, they that were there, 120, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you hear the term filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, it's the same exact thing, just you could interchange those words. So we see that here, that this series is called the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I said from the beginning, way back 3 weeks ago, actually it was longer because I think we took a week off because of the weather, but that this series would change lives, and it will. This series is so vital, it may be one of the most important that I ever preach and teach. It's interesting that Jesus, the last thing he said to his people before he left, before Elvis left the building, right? Elvis left the building. Jesus was gone, and he's been gone for over 2,000 years, and he has not come back yet. And so the last thing he says to them should stand out to us. It should be something of importance that he's trying to get across. And he uses something important. He commands them to receive this. And so this series will change lives. Jesus knew this would change their lives. That's why he did it. But we know this. Well, first I'll say this before I'm about to say what I'm about to say. No matter where you are spiritually, whether you are well-versed in this subject, whether you are completely ignorant in this subject, whether you are skeptical, whether you have wrong thoughts, it's going to change your life and it's going to bless you. Don't think because, well, I've been well-versed in this for 20, 25 years. God is trying to stir you up to go deeper, praise God. And those on the outside looking in, he wants to get you into the flow, praise God. And we said this, that you got to remember, this is a subject that is so highly debated. This is a subject that is so highly contested. There are people in the body of Christ that are, I mean, it's like our country on this subject, praise God. The Republicans and the Democrats split right down the middle, you know, seems to be a clash. And it shouldn't be that way. Because God doesn't confuse people. People confuse themselves. Amen? And you say, how do we stay out of the confusion? We just look at the Bible and what the Bible says. But I made this statement, and it's so important. Now, this might, you know, as I like to use the term, mow your grass the wrong way, pet your cat's fur the wrong way. You know, when you pet your cat, you go from the head down to the rear end. But if you want to find all the stuff in there and get out all the bad stuff, just go the opposite way. You can see everything there. This might rub you the wrong way. But to fully receive from this, or really anything in the Bible, because the Bible says that our flesh and our mind will not receive the things of the Spirit of God, that they're foolishness to them. If you're going to truly receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, receive of this series and let it change your life, you are going to have to put on the shelf all your traditions, I'll qualify that because you say, Pastor Mike, are you saying traditions are bad? No, let me qualify it at the end. You're going to have to put down what granny told you, what grandpa told you, what preacher so-and-so told you. Now, this is what I mean by that. If traditions and granny so-and-so and grandpa so-and-so and preacher so-and-so and co-worker so-and-so and friend so-and-so, if they don't tell you what the Bible says, who gives a flooty-tooty what they say? Who gives a rip? We're not out for their ideas. We're not out for their opinions. I'm not saying you don't respect them, you don't love them, you don't value them. But I'm not taking advice from people or from entities that aren't telling me the Bible. Amen? And there's so much wrong thinking. How do you correct wrong thinking? With truth. With the Word. Praise God. And so we're going to look at this subject, up, down, sideways, in, out, turn it up and around, all the way. I mean, we're not going to leave one stone unturned in this series. And so the first week, that's what we talked about. We got you prepped and said, and you came back, praise God, to, hey, just stick with me. The worst that can happen is by the end of the series, you see Pastor Mike's making all this up. He's just a liar, a crazy preacher, and never come back again. You didn't lose anything. You just found out I was crazy. Or you'll stay and hear the Word and realize, my goodness, I never heard that before. My goodness, where's that been my whole life? Because you're going to see a lot of things in here. I had someone last week come up to me after service and say, I've not ever seen that in the Bible. I said, join the club, brother. Many people have not seen this stuff in the Bible. Amen. I'm just telling you my experiences. The church I grew up, I mean, they just skip right over this stuff. The church she grew up never talked about it. And many of you, the churches you grew up, they never mentioned this stuff. Yet it's the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see here, the first week we got you ready, got your heart ready to prepare your heart. But then last week, we saw something, and I'll just give you one verse, but we looked at several last week to back this up. Because how many of you know, you don't build the doctrine on one verse. You can take any verse out of the Bible and twist it and make it say what it wants to. But that's not how you interpret the Bible. There's context. There's the mouth of two or three witnesses. Is it in there more than once? Who's the audience? All the good stuff. And so we're looking at it. And the last week what we looked at, and you need to go back and listen to this if you're unsure about this. We saw, and I'm telling you, Christians will fight you on this. Oh, they get downright mad at me for saying this. But we saw last week in the Bible, as clear as day, that salvation, how many of you know salvation was an experience? Amen? Salvation was an experience. I got born again January 10th, 2002 in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. That was an experience. What happened? I got born again. It was the greatest experience ever in my life. Nothing will trump getting saved. Let me just make that disclaimer. Nothing trumps being born again. But we saw in the Bible clearly that that salvation and this baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate experiences. We saw it clearly in the Word that when somebody would get born again, the apostles or the ministers there would send somebody to them and say, okay, they're now Christians, they're now saved, but they need the other thing, this baptism that Jesus talked about. But how many of you know, many people have no idea there's even a baptism of the Holy Ghost. God is magnified in our churches. Jesus is magnified in our churches. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, everybody's hush, hush. And yet the Holy Ghost is the only part of the Godhead or the Trinity still on the earth. God's on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand. And the Holy Spirit's down here. And people don't want anything to do with them in their churches. Why? Because it's weird to their flesh. It doesn't make sense to their minds. Well, you didn't receive salvation by your mind. You didn't receive salvation by your emotions and your feelings. Your flesh and your mind cannot understand salvation. If you try to understand salvation with your flesh and your mind, it won't happen because it does not make sense. What we believe makes no natural sense. Jesus dying, raising again. Come on, that doesn't make sense. And we just have to believe in Him, and all our sins were placed on Him, and He'll wash us clean. And if we believe that and confess that, we get to go to heaven. That does not make sense to my mind. But it's true, and my spirit knows it. Praise God. They're spiritually discerned. So we saw last week, and I gave you five references that show you clearly that salvation and this baptism of the Holy Ghost are not the same. Because the argument is, don't you dare tell me that I didn't receive all the Holy Ghost I need at salvation. Are you trying to tell me that, Pastor Mike? Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm not the one relaying the message. I'm the one relaying the message, but I'm not the one that wrote the message. Praise God. And we saw, and so I want to go back to the smoking gun last week. What's the smoking gun? You know, in a criminal trial, they have all their evidence presenting, and they save the best for last. And they say, this is the smoking gun. We got pictures. We got this. We got that. And so let's look at the smoking gun that tells us specifically that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and salvation are two separate experiences. Go to Acts 19 and verse 1. And forgive the constant drinking. My mouth is dry as can be. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Now remember, we're saying that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and salvation are two separate experiences. Now look at this. If this won't convince you, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I mean, if the Bible won't convince you, what can I do, right? I'm not a good salesman. I just preach the Word. Acts 19 and verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, now this is Paul. We saw last week, same thing happened to him. He got saved, and then a man by the name of Ananias went to him, laid hands on him, and he got his sight. And he said, Jesus has sent me that you, Paul, you born-again Christian, might receive the Holy Ghost. So he didn't get all the Holy Ghost he's ever going to need. And so it says here in Acts 19 and verse 2, he came to certain disciples. And look at what Paul says when he encounters these disciples at Ephesus. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you, he perceives them to be Christians, received the Holy Ghost? Now look at the next word. This is the smoking gun. What's the next word after ghost? Since. You know what the word since means? After. Paul is asking believers, did you receive the Holy Ghost after you believed? What's that mean? Two separate times. Amen? He's asking them, just like me, he said, man, on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, I got saved. Then I went to a house in the street called Straight and was praying there. God showed me in a vision a man by the name of Ananias is coming, and Ananias came. The Lord showed Ananias in a vision there's a man by the name of Saul. Saul's name has changed to Paul. He's in a house praying, and he's waiting for you. And Ananias said, he's waiting for you to lay hands on him to restore his sight and give him the gift of the Holy Ghost after. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have to ask yourself, have I just experienced the experience of salvation, or did I also go into the other experience? And again, don't take my word for this. Go back and listen last week. It's clear as day in the Bible. Listen, there are some people that just refuse to receive the Bible, no matter how plain as day it is. Why? They won't let go of their traditions. They won't let go of their feelings. They won't let go of what they think. They won't let go of what so-and-so taught them. Listen, lay that stuff down and go with the Bible. Amen. And so we saw that, and I encourage you to go back and listen. But God wants you to receive this separate experience. Just like salvation is for all, you're going to see in this series, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is also for all. Praise God. But I want to show you here tonight, and what we're going to look at tonight, remember I busted out my Tina Turner impression. You remember that, right? Tina Turner would sing, what's love got to do with it? But Pastor Mike changed the lyrics. What does tongues have to do with it? So tonight we're going to see, what does tongues, because you hear that speaking in tongues and that's a scary word. Oh, don't say that word in church. Oh, you can't. Well, let's find out what the Bible says about it. What does tongues have to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Certainly, Pastor Mike, I want this baptism of the Holy Ghost, but can you leave that tongues business on the shelf, please? Pastor Mike, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but if we could not mention that dreaded T word, I'd be so happy. Well, I'm going to show you tonight, clear as day in the Bible again, that tongues, now get this, tongues is the only evidence that one, the initial evidence, I should say, because you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and be full of joy, be full of peace as well, but that's not the evidence. Tongues is the evidence. I really say evidence. It's the proof that one has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you say, I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you don't speak in tongues, biblically, no, you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pastor Mike, this is blasphemy. How dare you? I dare myself. I did it. I dared. I did it. I went right over and said it. It's true, though. Let's see in the Bible what it says about that. Amen? Now, I'm going to show you in the Word clearly that this is true, that tongues is the evidence. Tongues is the proof. Tongues lets a person know, yep, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to look at a few places, first of all, where it's clearly inferred. But then we're going to look at some places in the Bible where it clearly tells us this was the result. Amen? Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. And we're picking up this story in Acts chapter 9 in the beginning. This is when Saul of Tarsus was met by Jesus. Remember, Saul was being nasty to the Christians. This is when Saul was met by Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was knocked on his hand by the power of God. and the light shone round about, and he heard a voice from heaven say something to him. Saul received Jesus, and then Jesus told him, I'm just catching you up so we don't have to read it all. Jesus told him, go into the house in a street called Straight. He said, wait there. There's going to be a man by the name of Ananias. He's going to come to you. Well, Ananias had the same vision, and Ananias was told, there's a man praying. He's waiting for you to receive, for you to lay hands on him so he gets his sight, but also so that he would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, Ananias went his way, what? Obeying God, going looking for this guy named Saul. He entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Now, that Brother Saul is an implication that he's a Christian. Now, remember what Pastor Mike said last week. The baptism and salvation are separate. So we're already dealing with somebody that's had the salvation experience. That's why he called him Brother Saul. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and, everybody say and, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Separate experience. Now, in this experience, we don't see that it's written. We know it happened by what we're going to look at later. It's not written that Paul immediately spoke in tongues. But just because it's not written doesn't mean it didn't happen. In fact, when what's written about what Jesus said to Ananias, all that's written about what Jesus spoke to Ananias was, go lay your hands on Saul and give him back his sight. But what did Ananias say when he got to Saul? Jesus told me, lay hands on you and get you filled with the Holy Ghost. So it was true, it just wasn't reported in the first account. All we were told is, go lay your hands on him. But when we get there, we know Jesus said more than that. Why wasn't it written? Don't know, don't care, doesn't matter. We know it happened. Well, we don't see here that the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at this time, spoke with tongues immediately. But what we do know about the Apostle Paul, and when you see this at the end, you'll know he had to have spoke with tongues or he didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. But what we do know about Paul is this. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:18. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Hallelujah. For those of you that say, I've been around this for years, what good is this to me? Yeah, well, are you utilizing the gift to the maximum? Because there's more for you. There's a deeper place for you. God wants better for you. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Look what it says. This is the Apostle Paul writing. I thank my God. What's he praising? He's praising God for something. I thank my God, the Apostle Paul, the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament, arguably the greatest Christian that's ever walked the face of the earth, had more revelation we're still feeding off and living off today, than any human being will ever have, used in a way that no other human being will ever be used again. This man is it, praise God. And look what he says, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, that doesn't tell us that he did immediately, but what it does tell us, and at the end you'll infer to say, oh, he had to spoke in tongues to get the Holy Ghost, or Ananias wouldn't have been able to leave, because tongues is the evidence. But what we know about Paul is he was a tongue talker. You know, the guy you're feeding from in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all those books that you receive all that great revelation, it's scary, but just so you know, he was a tongue talker. No. You know who else is a tongue talker? This is always fun when you're talking with the Catholics. Mary! Mary was in the upper room, the one of the 120, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was gave, and the Bible says they all spoke with tongues. Oh, that Mary was up there too, just a speaking in tongues. Praise God. She was. I'm telling you, she was. It's the truth, man. I'm sorry to mess you up, but it's true. It's true. So we see here that Paul received the baptism. Doesn't immediately say he spoke in tongues, but we know he was a tongue talker. Go with me to Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Acts chapter 8. Now, this is the other place where it doesn't spell it out, but that doesn't make it not true, but it strongly infers. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Acts 8 and verse 14. says, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, when they heard Samaria had received the word of God. Now, if you look at the verses before, what's he talking about? Samaria receiving the word of God. They got born again. They received Jesus. They became saved. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. There it is again. We looked at that last week. People got born again, and what'd they do? Hey, we got wind that Samaria just got saved. They need something else. Send them Peter and John, because now they need this Holy Ghost business. What are they saying? When they got saved, they didn't get all the Holy Ghost they need. So they sent down Peter and John that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, verse 16 says, for he had fallen on none of them. Look at this. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you in the only category tonight? I'm not downplaying your salvation in Jesus. It's the greatest. But Jesus commanded, you need something else. Salvation gets you into heaven, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost gets you power down here. Jesus said, when you receive this, you'll receive power. Don't receive it, you won't receive power. Life's different for the people that receive this. Not saying they're better, not saying they're more loved. And certainly, let me make the statement, you do not need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues to go to heaven. You need to receive Jesus to do that, amen? I've been accused of saying such things, and it's just not true. But he says, only they were baptized in the Lord Jesus. He's saying, these Christians, they're born again, yes, but they haven't received the second thing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look what it says. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now this little loudmouth preacher up here is telling you that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. Well, the Bible doesn't immediately say that they spoke in tongues, but look what it does say in verse 17. In verse 17, they laid their hands on them, received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, ever says Simon says, you know that you've played that game. Simon says, this is where they got it from. Right here. This is the birthplace of Simon Says. When Simon saw, look at this, that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that whomever I lay hands on them might receive the Holy Ghost. So Simon is watching these people get hands laid on them, and the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost. It doesn't immediately tell us that they spoke in tongues. But Simon saw something. And when Simon saw it, he knew something just happened to them. Well, I don't know about you, but I've never seen the Holy Ghost except for one time. Abby threw a sheet over her head. My little daughter, she's downstairs in the basement in children's church. She threw a sheet over her head, my six-year-old. She went running through the house declaring, I am the Holy Ghost. So that was my only time I saw the Holy Ghost. But you've never seen the Holy Ghost. And I've never seen the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says Simon saw something. Well, Simon didn't see the Holy Ghost. What Simon saw was the reaction of what happens when somebody is filled with the Spirit, tongues flow out of them, languages that have never been uttered before. And he saw that and said, wow! So how do you know, Pastor Mike? Because of the next verses we're going to look at. The next verses we're going to look at, three places tell us that people, when they get saved, tongues is what flows out of them. And guess what I have for you tonight? Smoking gun. God, it's in my back pocket. I'm going to pull that thing out. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. It's coming. So that's two places where we see people receive the Holy Ghost. It doesn't immediately say they spoke in tongues, but it's strongly inferred, and by what we know in the rest of the Bible, by context and by mouth of two or three witnesses, we can know, yep, what Simon was seeing was this unknown language that was coming out of their mouth. Amen? Now go with me to Acts 2 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know who they are? The ones that Jesus was commanding in Acts chapter 1. Remember he said, don't leave Jerusalem till you get this. So they're not leaving Jerusalem. They're in the upper room. Mary was there, by the way. It says they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you know what Pastor Mike's saying. That the evidence that you are filled is speaking in tongues. Well, look at what it says here. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and. Everybody say and. Amen. Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it's true. But to truly be filled with the Holy Ghost, something has to go with it. An and has to happen. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and what? Began to speak with other tongues. Here's an example. And the Bible tells us that when somebody gets truly filled, the evidence or the way you're going to know they got it is tongues are going to flow out of their mouth. Amen. Praise God is right. Go to Acts 19 verse 1. We were already just there. Go to Acts 19 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Now, I do need to say this because some people just tune me out and say, that's fine for the charismatic section of the body of Christ. That's fine for the Pentecostals. But Pastor Mike, this isn't my thing. What did Jesus say about this experience in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4? He commanded them. Who? Christians. Don't leave without this. Why? Not because I want you to look like some radical group of Christianity. Not because I want you to speak some weird gibberish and freak everybody out. Because verse 8 says, if you don't get it, you don't receive power. He said, the baptism of the Holy Ghost brings power. And there are a lot of His people that are out there without power. Now, this is what I want to say to you. It's amazing how little honor and reverence we give the Word of God. He says, I command you, Christians, don't leave without this. Have you ever got subpoenaed to be in court? I've been subpoenaed to be in court and to be, you know, a witness, to testify, whatever. And on that letter from the courthouse, you know what it says? You are commanded to be at such and such a place at such and such a time. And if you don't, penalty of by law, breaking the law. When I looked at that form, and I saw the words, I'm commanded to be there. I didn't think to myself, if I feel like it, maybe. If it's convenient for me, sure. If it fits into my lifestyle, yes. No. The words command showed me my butt better be at that place at that time or I'm going to get in trouble. But yet when Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, our Master, our Savior says, I command you Christians, take it with a grain of salt. Well, it's so backwards. You would never do that with a subpoena, with anything from a court of law. Never. And with this subject, people say, that's just not for me. Jesus thought it was for you. Praise God. But you know what? People just don't care about obeying Him. People just live their own lives, you know, just happy to take the fire insurance that He offers them. So much more for you. Command. Jesus didn't say to them, I command you if it fits into your day. I command you if it's comfortable. I command you if this is something that your body, your mind, and your flesh like, no. He just said, do this. The courts didn't care what Pastor Mike had going on that day. The courts didn't give a rip what Pastor Mike had going on that hour. The court said, you're going to be here this time, this place. Pray. Yes, I'm going. I'll be there. Oh, Jesus, you said to command me? Whatever you say, Master. That's why people don't receive the blessings that He has for them. Remember Mary said to Him in John chapter 2 at the wedding in Cana? Mary said, whatever He says, do you do it? And what happened? A miracle happened. Why? Because whatever He said, they did it. We see over and over in the Word, when people did the things that God said to do that were uncomfortable, that went against their norms, went against their traditions, went against what they thought, but they just did the Word, great blessings. But a lot of people won't do the Word. Oh, they won't do the word financially. They won't do the word with what it says to do with their kids. Won't do the word with getting a pastor and coming to church. Won't get the word and with their love walk and forgiveness. They compartmentalize things. Say, okay, this I'll do, this I want to. No. We are to obey the word of God. Amen. It's true. Gotta obey Him. He's my help. He's my answer. In Acts chapter 19, it says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, which most Christians will say, we don't even know there is a Holy Ghost. We haven't even heard of this thing. And he said unto them, what were you baptized? They said, John's. And Paul said, so Paul realized something. Oh, they're not Christians. John wasn't a baptism of salvation. Why? Jesus hadn't died and rose again yet. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And I realized, oh, they're not even born again yet. We got to get them born again first. Verse 4, what were you baptized? They said, John's. Verse 4, then Paul. Then said Paul, John baptized with repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him, Jesus, which should have come after them as on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bam, they're now Christians. When you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are declaring your faith, you believe in Jesus, you are saved. Now, you don't have to get baptized to be saved. It just happened to be how it happened for them, you know. They had water all around them all the time. Might as well just do it all in one shot, get baptized. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, who? The Christians. They're already born again. Because how many of you know, you don't even have to receive the Holy Ghost this way, but you definitely don't need to receive salvation through the laying on of hands. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about laying on of hands that you need it for salvation. But then after they got saved, Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. What happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came on them, and, everybody say, and. The Holy Ghost came on them, and something came with it. They spoke with tongues. Amen. You can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without this tongues business. What's tongues got to do? Got to do with it? Everything. It's the evidence. Now hold on while I reach around the backside here and pull out the smoking gun. I think I got it. We're ready. Here we go. Are you ready? Go with me to Acts 10 and verse 44. You know what's interesting in that utterance? Here there could be people that are here well versed in this for years, and the Holy Ghost had us go into an utterance about obeying God and obeying His Word. That will never get old to us. Hallelujah. Because there's always going to be tests and trials. There's always going to be things He's calling us higher to do that are uncomfortable. But we need that spur. We need that fire lit under us. Praise God. Well, here we go. The smoking gun of what? Showing you that tongues is the evidence of one being filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. What was the circumcision? The Jewish believers. They were shocked. Why were they shocked? Because as many as came with Peter, because the Gentiles, who's a Gentile? A non-Jewish unbeliever that gets saved. So I used to be a Gentile. Peter, before he got born again, was just a Jew. Now he's a Jewish Christian. Now I'm a Gentile Christian. I don't have Jewish background. It says because, he said, they're shocked. The Holy Ghost was poured out on them also. So he's saying, wow, I thought this was just for us. Remember, they kind of sitting on their high horse, the Jews that believed, remember? They thought they're high and mighty, that we're the only ones that can receive this stuff because we're Jews, we're God's people. But God stepped in and showed them, hey, all this stuff is available to the whole world. Jewish non-believers that get saved and Gentile non-believers that get saved. It's available to them all. Amen. He said the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out. Now let me ask you, how in the world would they know? Because they're astonished. They say, oh my gosh, they received it. Did they see the Holy Spirit fall on those people? No, the Bible tells us what they saw that showed them, wow, they got it just like we got it. Well, remember, how did them of the circumcision get it? Back in Acts chapter 2, them of the circumcision were in the upper room. And what happened? The Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues. This language came out of them for the first time ever. And now Peter and them, they're saying, wow, they got it just like we got it. They saw the same thing, saying the same thing that happened to us, which was what? Filled and speak. Happened to them. Well, does the Bible tell us? It sure does in verse 46. For, I remember the verse before, he says, they're astonished because they received the Holy Ghost. You know what that word for means? Because. It means because. We know, verse 45, they received it. And the reason we know it is for or because they heard them speak with tongues. The only way they were able to say, wow, they got exactly what we got, was when their mouths opened up, they spoke with tongues, and Peter said, oh my gosh, the Gentiles who aren't Jewish, the uncircumcised, they received this too. How did they know? They heard them speak with tongues. You can't separate the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Real quick, I'm not going to get ahead of myself in this series, and we'll close this down. Go to Mark chapter 16, and then I'll go one other place. Mark chapter 16. It's just the truth. You can't separate it. Why am I so emphatic about this? Because those of you that are outside looking in, you have no idea what you're missing. Jesus said power will come on you. Not a natural power, a supernatural power. When people live life without natural power, it looks different. I have some of my best friends are named Jonas and Daniel. They own an archery shop, and I go hunting with them in Ohio. And we always joke back and forth about me being an Englishman, they call them being Amish. And I pick on them about stuff, they pick on me about stuff. But one thing I can tell you for certain, their lives are a lot different than mine because I have power and they don't. My trips to the grocery store are a lot easier. When we need to do laundry, it's a lot easier. When we need to make our meals, it's a lot easier and more convenient. And it's just the truth. Why? No power. When they need to get somewhere, it takes longer. It's colder the way they travel. It takes longer the way they travel. Why? No power. When a Christian disobeys the words of Jesus and goes out, they go out without this supernatural power that's at their disposal to change their world. Why? No power and power looks different. Look at Peter pre-power. Look at Peter post-power. Pre-power, what was Peter doing? Denying Jesus to little girls. When the rooster crows three times, you'll have denied him, right? And it happened. The rooster crowed. Well, he was denying Jesus. I don't know him. And then after Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, we see him preaching the gospel in the face of people that want to take him out, imprison him, and hurt him. He was willing to die for Jesus. He wouldn't even admit he was with Jesus before the power. After the power, he said, kill me. And in fact, church history tells us, it's not in the Bible, but we do know the Bible says that Peter was going to die a death like Jesus. Well, how did Jesus die? Being crucified. And church history tells us that Peter was crucified. Amen. Written down through the ages of how Peter was. But you know how Peter was crucified if you studied out? Upside down. You know what the idea of it was? That Peter, so bold when they were going to kill him for Jesus, said, I'm not worthy to die like my Savior. Crucify me upside down on this cross. You can't do that without a supernatural power. He was running for his life with a little girl asking him, you were with Jesus? I saw you with Jesus. I don't know him. Post power says, crucify me, but flip me upside down. My God, he changed the world. Amen. And so those of you on the outside, number one, it's a command. Number two, there's power for you. What did Jesus say about this tongues business? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said unto them, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth. So see, he's not talking about just who the audience he's face to face with. This was for everybody. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now look at this. These signs shall follow them that believe. Well, that's twofold there. Number one, these signs should follow believers. But also, how many of you know, there's a lot of believers that are in a lot of doubt and unbelief about things. Just like any gift, it's received by faith. Hebrews 6 tells us you receive the promises of God through faith. How do you think you receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost? Same way you receive your healing. Same way you receive your salvation. Same way you receive your provision. How? Through faith. It's the same way you're going to get. Well, what is faith? Faith is just belief. And Jesus said, if you'll believe, these signs are going to follow them that will believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Now look at this. Wow, Jesus said this. They, who? Those that believe. Who's it available for? Them that believe. The churches and the people that don't believe, they don't get it. But you know what it's available for? Them that believe. Look what your sweet little Jesus said about this crazy tongues business. He said if they'll believe, they will speak with new. What's that mean? Never heard before. And you'll see when we go further in this series, you're going to see the Bible calls it an unknown language. It's not French, it's not German, it's not Australian, it's not British, it's not English, it's unknown. And Jesus said it's new. It's never been uttered before on the earth. They that believe on me will speak with new tongues. Glory to God. Wow. Now, I'll close with this going forward because now we talked a little about this tongues business. I need to calm your brains down, make you feel comfortable leaving here. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:1. Now, in closing, now next week what we're going to look at is we're going to see next week is tongues for everybody. And we're also going to look at, if the Holy Ghost leads me in this series, we are eventually going to look at this. I believe it's going to be next week. We'll see. What did the naysayers say about it? All the churches that are against it, they have verses. Oh, they have verses. But they pluck those verses out of context. They don't look at the whole thing. They're twisted in their thinking. Say, what makes you the authority? I'm not the authority, but the Word of God is the authority. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll look at it. But next week we'll see if the Holy Ghost allows us to do that part of it. We're going to see, is it for everybody? Because the misconception is, that's only for some. Thank God salvation wasn't just for some. I guess because now that you can interchange tongues in the baptism, you can't separate receiving power from receiving tongues. So if tongues is just for some, I guess power is just for some. I guess Jesus is just going to have that supernatural power just for some. I guess, you know, maybe I'll make sure Caleb gets dinner tonight, but I'll make sure Abby goes to bed hungry. I'll make sure Caleb has enough clothes on his body, but I'm going to send Abby to school without it. You would look at me as a horrible dad. And we look at our Father, well, that's for some. He gave the power to some. You know what you're accusing Him of being? A deadbeat daddy, and my Father's not a deadbeat daddy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, I think I said that, verse 1. Now, in closing, I want to show you this. Because some of you that maybe on the outside, you're ignorant to it. We're all ignorant till we're not. Might think to yourself, okay, I see it. It's clear. The baptism separates salvation. And you see, people got filled and they spoke with tongues. And one time they said, we only know they're filled with the Holy Ghost because they spoke in tongues. It was the evidence. Because if Peter would have gone back and said, yep, they got the Holy Ghost, someone would have said, how do you know? They said, because we heard them speak with tongues. Tongues proved it to us. But now you're thinking, well, what is this tongues business? It's time to calm all the old thinking, all the craziness. Just because you've been around crazies in church. You know, I've gone to Walmart before and had some really awful cashiers. I didn't stop going to Walmart. It didn't make the whole store bad. It didn't make all bad. Just because you've been around some crazy Christians who've been swinging from the chandeliers and going outside the boundaries of the Bible, and you've heard things and all. No, no, no. Wash your mind of that and receive what Jesus has to say. But I want to show you, as we close tonight, what is tongues? What is tongues? Is it just a crazy language to separate certain parts of the body of Christ so everybody can point at them and say, they're nuts? No. The Bible clearly defines it. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. What's that tell you? It ain't a natural language. Because you could speak a natural language, and I might not understand French. And I might not understand German. And when my Amish friends start talking German around me, first of all, I think, are they talking about me? They try not to do it. But sometimes they just go off, and I'm thinking, I gotta learn me some German. I don't understand it, but how many of you know? There might be someone else in the world, they understand it. The Bible says tongues, no man understands them. That's why it's crazy to all the naysayers and the critics, because they hear it and it's jumbled gibberish, and they say, that's crazy, that's nuts. They just discount it. But the Bible tells you, no man's going to understand this. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So, look at the beginning of that. He that speaks in his own tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Okay, and I'm going to show you the next verse, the communication method. Because this tells us it's a means by which we can communicate with the Father. Amen. Well, how do we communicate with the Father through tongues? I don't understand. Even when I pray in tongues, most of the time I have no idea, unless the Lord interprets it for me and reveals what I was saying. I have no idea. My mind tries to regard. I don't know what you just said. Where did those sounds come from? My flesh is like, you're nuts, Mike. You're crazy. But it's not from the mind and it's not from the flesh. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. Look what Paul said. Now remember what he just said. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my mind prayeth. My flesh prayeth. No. My spirit prayeth. But my understanding. What's your understanding? Your brain. Your logic. Is unfruitful. What's it mean? When I'm praying in tongues, ain't nothing about my mind that's going to get it. But my spirit. According to verse 2, remember, he that speaks in unknown tongues speaks to God. How do we speak to God? Spirit to spirit. What does the Bible say? God is a spirit. Now, let me get you this. You might think, no, you know, I'll just take this praying in my mind. Well, don't forget he commanded it. And don't forget that it's clearly the evidence and there's power available. God is a spirit. You do realize that your natural man and your soulish man, the mind, will, and emotions, is not going to heaven with you. We've all been to funerals and we've seen clearly the natural man stays right there. The mind, will, and emotions don't go because all that gets renewed and the Bible says we become like him when we see him. The thing that lives forever that you are, the three-part being, you're a soul, you're a body, but you're also spirit. The spirit of man lives forever. The spirit of man is the real you. That which you see in the mirror is just the shell of the real you. The real you is a spirit man. So the one that lives forever should get the most attention. The one, because what does the Bible say? He that sows to the spirit will reap life. He that sows to the flesh will reap destruction. So many people stay in a soulical, carnal, fleshly realm and don't realize I should be sowing to the spirit realm. Why? That's the realm you're going to live eternally in. Heaven is not a natural place. It's a spiritual place. You are not a natural being. You are a spiritual being. And the Bible says when you take off praying in tongues, verse 2 said, you're talking to him, but the way you're talking to him is from spirit to spirit. So what is tongues? It's a means of communication that you as a believer can talk to your Heavenly Father. It's so precious. Oh, I thought it was just for the crazies. No, 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 no. It's a precious gift that so many Christians are on the outside of, and their fellowship falls so flat. Why? Your mind can only go so far. Your flesh can only go so far. But the Spirit, remember what the Bible says? Though the outward man perishes, the inward man, the spirit man, is renewed day by day. This realm, the spirit man, can just go deeper and deeper than the mind and the body ever can go. And so what are you missing out on? You're missing out on a precious, intimate time with your Father that no one else can understand. When I pray in English, people can understand me. Men can hear what I'm saying. When I take off in private and pray to my Father in the Spirit, even though my mind doesn't grasp it, even though my flesh doesn't grasp it, I know what the Bible says. I know my spirit is communicating with my Heavenly Father. Amen. So what we have left of this series, and we'll shut it down right now, is it for everybody? You're going to see that it is. What do the naysayers say? We're going to squash those. And then I'm excited to say about this part of the series. You know, when you get a job, it comes with, at times, a benefits package. Right? those of you that are teachers, you have benefits packages. What's that mean? Sick time, vacation time, you have personal time, there are other jobs, you have insurance, right? Different things that comes with benefits. Oh, wait till you see the benefit package that comes with speaking in tongues. That is a great benefit, but just wait and see all that you're missing out on by not speaking in tongues. And that goes for you people that are already born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have once spoken tongues, or you occasionally speak in tongues. Oh, you're missing out on the benefits. Amen. Just wait. You got to stick with me in this series, and we're going to see these things clear as day. What the Bible says about them, and oh my gosh, you'll think to yourself, I've been a Christian my whole life, or since I got born again, years and years, and I have been missing out. That's what this series is for, so you don't miss out anymore. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're just so grateful. Your Bible's clear, Lord. My job's to present it. My job's to preach it. It's the people's job to receive it. And Father, I pray for each and every one of their hearts. I pray that they would receive the words that we spoke tonight from heaven. Father, we didn't take anything out of context. We're not trying to twist anybody's arm. Father, it's up to people whether or not they want to obey you. It's up to people whether or not they want to put down their traditions and what they feel, what they think, and what they've been taught. And just clearly look at the word and say, you know what? I can't deny it. It's all in there. Get on the train that'll bring you into greater blessing, praise God. Father, I thank you that these words will be branded in each and every person's heart. And those that are on the outside looking in will make a declaration to say, no more. That by the end of this series, I will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and I will speak with other tongues. And I will begin to receive of all the blessings that comes with it. And Father, those that are already in on it, well-versed in it, Father, I pray that it would stir them up. Lord, this wasn't a one-time experience. This wasn't meant to be, yeah, prayed in tongues last week for 10 minutes. This is meant to be a lifestyle of communication, a lifestyle of blessing. Father, I pray it would stir them up and light a fire under them, and they'd charge forward into this new year, taking advantage of the gift of the Holy Ghost, which you cannot exclude tongues in it because they go together. So that means you want us speaking in tongues. We saw it in Mark chapter 16. So, Father, we thank you for lives being changed, destinies being overturned. Father, I think back over the 10 years, and every time I preach this series, we've had a bunch of people come up and receive it. And that's, you know, with heads bowed, eyes closed, that's one of the things we'll talk about. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? I'll help you to learn how to receive it, and you'll get it. You'll get it. Multitudes filled with the Holy Spirit by doing what the Word says. Lives change forever, Father. I thank you that this series will cause lives to change forever. And Father, I thank you so, so much. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? I mean, really ask yourself that question and see what answer you get. When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is absolutely. I know I'll go to heaven. And the reason I know that is because I did and followed what the Bible said to do to receive salvation. And the Bible says I need to do two things. I must believe on Jesus and receive him by faith. If you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I've been in church my whole life. I believe that Jesus is real, but I can't say that I've ever really made him the Lord of my life. I can't say that I've officially ever accepted him. It's not enough to know about him. It's not even enough to just believe in him. The Bible says you must confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9 tells us. So if you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I sure want to. And I tell you, I do believe in Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, nobody looking around. I don't want to embarrass anybody. We won't have you come forward. We won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But if you're here tonight and you can say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hands high in the air? Anybody that's never done that before and you want to for the first time, don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life, that's the most important thing you could ever receive. Father, I don't see any hands in here, so I'm trusting that Everybody under the sound of my voice has received you and is heaven bound. But if by chance there's somebody in here or listening right now online or in the future via the archive, Father, I pray sincerely that they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord. And for those of you that maybe were shy and didn't want to receive Jesus, if there's any of those in here or listening online now or in the future, say, how do I do that, Pastor Mike? It's simple. You cry out to him and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you, and I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come in my heart. If you'll pray that and mean that, he'll come into your heart. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. Become a father unto you. And then we encourage you to send me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know, and we'll get you hooked up and started in your best life ever. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so, so much. We praise your holy name. We glorify your holy name. Would you stand up with me and just praise him tonight before we close? Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16? He said, well, we didn't get further down to it, but he said, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Cam, would you mind coming up so I can lay hands on you? I know you and your family are already believing. But the Bible says lay hands on the sick, and we're going to believe God for complete healing in that leg. No long-term problems with it. We're going to just believe right now. Father, you said in your word, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So, Father, I lay my hands on him. And we command the power of God to go into his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Anything not working right, anything out of order in that leg, we command it to be right. And Father, we declare no long-term problems. In fact, we declare a quick, speedy, supernatural recovery in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that it'll be a testimony under you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know the drill, brother. Just keep praising him for it. It's coming. It's coming. He's faithful. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord. You're a God that heals, praise God. Come on and praise him tonight. Come on and praise him tonight. We bless you and worship you. We honor and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now before you, what are you waving at me? Oh my gosh. You can't leave yet, but let me just say this first, and then you can write it down. I'll go over this in a second. But before, when you leave tonight, remember, there's service on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And then also, if you have children in the nursery, what a blessing that we have nursery workers, right? Before you fellowship, before you do anything, please go down and relieve the nursery worker and then come back up and fellowship. We want to. They spent time down there. They still got to clean up and they get out of here late. That would be a great blessing. But before you leave, sit down real quick. Sit down. Pull out that card. There's an index card there. We have to have our annual Super Bowl prediction. Now you say, why do I have to do this, Pastor Mike? Why do I have to do this, Pastor Mike? Well, there's prizes for the top three winners. If you have no idea who's even playing, it's the 49ers and the Chiefs. Now, what we're going to have you do is we'll have the ushers go around and collect them, just like taking up the offering. So if you get the other bucket, that'd be great. I want you to put your name on it. Now, this is what you need to do. Put your name on it. Write down who you think's going to be the winner and write down the score. Because the closest score is going to be the winner. And again, we got some good prizes for you. So write it down. Write it down. I just want to tell you, the number one spot's already taken because what I write down here, it's going to happen. I just know it is. I just know it is. So I'm going to get involved too. So write down your name. Again, it's the Chiefs and the 49ers. Game's tomorrow night. You write down the score of who you think's going to win. Hallelujah. Thank you for reminding me. How could I forget that? The Super Bowl is my favorite day of the year. So how can I forget that? Man, oh man. I got the Willy Wonka winning ticket. It's right here. It's right here. You might as well just save your time and not do one. It's right here. Oh, that's okay. You can have second or third place, but we'll give you a second to do that. Hallelujah. Remember, again, go get your kids. Tell that nursery worker thank you. We want to be honorable and loving to them. All right, we'll go ahead and pass those around, and we'll let you know next week. Love you. You are dismissed after you can put that in.